Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Salita, the host of Say Your Piece radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Join me and Brian for informative show about life, love, politics, and culture.
Good evening, everyone. I am hoping everyone is doing great. I know everyone's probably had a great busy weekend, but tonight is going to be a great show. I'm trying to get my my host in. You there, Brian?
I'm here, Salita.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. They're trying to get everything lined up. Today's been one of those hectic days, but we're going to make it.
Yeah, I know. I think I just got to get better at my planning. You know, we so busy doing all the other stuff we do during the daytime and during the week that I almost sometimes don't dedicate and spend time with getting my show on Saturday nights squared away like I should.
That's tonight, 10 irons in the fire, that's what they say.
Yes, I do. Once I go full-time, daytime, I won't even have to worry about Saturday nights. We won't even have to, you know, hunt down guests for Saturday nights. We'll be doing it during the daytime and at a good time. Okay. As you know, we have Miss Sandra Davis. Miss Davis, is she there yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm fine.
Great. So, why don't you open us up, like basically kind of telling us about yourself, and then we can go into the discussion of your opinion about our black males.
What do you mean, like?
Tell a little bit about who you are and, you know.
Oh, so far I'm writing a book.
Okay.
But I'm not finished with it, so I go back and forth on it. It's about the black men and going to the white women. And, you know, the black men like to call the black women gold diggers and such and such and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So give us your opinion on why you feel that way, because I noticed on Facebook you definitely go in depth on how you feel about what makes you feel the way you feel. I've seen a couple of posts saying you must have been hurt, or somebody must have took your man, or a white woman must have took your man, or whatever. But kind of explain to us, why do you feel the way you feel about the black male?
Because so most of the time, the black men, they look at white women, they think, okay, they think that they all that, think they all that in a whole, and a bag of chips, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, now, is it just the white women that you have issues with? Is there any other nationality of women that you don't like to see?
Yeah, a little bit of the, see what most black men do. They go to every. I mean, you know, you see it on TV. You see it in the park. See it in the street. You see it in the mall. You know, everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see more black men with white women, Spanish women, women of another race, women, everything but black.
Okay. So you don't think a man has a right to be with other colors? Shouldn't that be a personal choice of his own?
Yeah, he have a personal choice of his own, but I'm saying, who was here first, the black woman or anybody else? Black woman was here first.
Okay, so you're basing your opinion off the idea that the black woman was first. But
mm-hmm.
again, doesn't that's a personal choice of the black male.
Yes, the personal choice of a black man, but I'm just saying, you know. Well, I'm saying the black man and the black woman. See, this stuff been going on since slavery. I mean, I read a lot of slavery books. And, you know, a lot of books on slavery. That, you know, that's what I read, a lot of history books and all that. And see, what it, that's what it stems from. See, they, it stems from that, it, you know, in the beginning. That's what it stems from.
So you're saying that as we as black people who were taught the house Negro and the field Negro mentality, this mentality was taught to us a long time ago in the same respect?
Yes, it's slave mentality.
Okay.
So we're carrying it on up until the present day.
I mean, if you read Willie Lynch, see, they... okay, in a Willie Lynch book, he said like the black man against the black woman, the turn the black dark skin against the light skin, young against old. You get the picture.
Right.
Hold up, let me see who this is. 562. Hello, 562.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I was just listening in. I just got on the call, so I didn't know what the topic was off top. So I just wanted to, you know, try to fall into the conversation if before I said anything.
Okay. Well, basically, we have Miss Sandra, and she's basically giving us her view on the reason why she doesn't like the idea that African-American men date white women.
Okay, you're talking about miscegenation. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, my thing, and I guess it's me, and I used to have that same type of attitude when I used to see a white woman with a black man. I used to just, it used to make me cringe inside because I didn't understand why you have all these beautiful women. We come in all shapes, sizes, beautiful colors, the whole nine yards. And why would you want a white woman? Now, I'm going to say this. What I've learned and why they go that route is, and this is because of something they told me. And I say they, I'm talking about some black males, not all of them. They say the white woman is easier to manipulate. Most of them are not going to talk back. Most of them are going to take care of them. They don't have to worry about being taken care of. And they can get over on them.
Say they're
going to
cut the grass?
that is true, I guess, to a degree, because white women, they are easily, for the most, some of them are easily manipulated. When I was in the military, I knew a lot of brothers that dated white girls just for their money, because they would, you know, they would give them money, they would, you know, co-sign for cars. Matter of fact, I sell cars, and a couple of years ago, I was working at a Nissan dealership, and I had a black guy come in with a white girl, and she helped him fix his credit, and I think she was buying a car for him. One of the two, I know somebody, one of them was buying a car, was getting a car. I think she, but. She said she had fixed his credit. She had helped him fix his credit and stuff like that. Because I was just messing with her. I was trying to get information. I was like, man, how can I give me a white girl? You know, what's going on? What's the good thing about being a white girl? Because I ain't never been with one before. And she was telling me, oh, well, you know, we're not that argumentative, and you know, we help you fix your credit, and you know, I helped him do a lot of this and that. And I was like, okay, cool, because I ain't really into it, but you know. I just wanted to know what the deal was. So you are right in what you're saying as far as them being easier to manipulate and control somewhat. Now you have some of the gray girls who have obviously been around the block with a few black men, and so they know the game. But you know, it's like when they come over to our side, it's almost like they can't go back. That's why they say once you go black, you can't go back. It's very hard for them to go back because a white man don't want anything within reason that a black man's had.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want, you know, they have to stay on the dark side. They have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that actor that talks about how his white woman just handled him like a baby
Terrence
doll?
Howard.
What's the guy, the red, is it kind of redheaded?
Terrence Howard.
Right, Terrence Howard. And wasn't Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah, he's been married to his over 20-something years. They were high school students.
Okay. Well, so, but Terrence Howard, he was the one that really came up with all of the, you know, he reminded me of a guy I know at his home today. And, you know, I don't think, and like I said, I've heard that also. But a lot of that is not true. Just today, I went to someone's house who is an interracial marriage, and he is catching total hell out of his white wife. Big mouth, bad mouth. He's the breadwinner of the family. She's not, and he goes through total hell. I mean, he even thinks she could bleed off on me till I have to set her down with a few words to let her know I'm not a husband that she's talking to. But I think it's the conception that the white woman is that docile person that you need. And I use that expression of cutting grass because I see so many white women that stay home that's out on the lawnmower cutting grass while their husband's at work, so I laugh at that when I use that. But I think what it goes back to just what Sandra said earlier about it being something taught from from the field Negro to the house Negro. And then, as we know, just like our women were taken advantage of and raped by the slave master, the same thing went around where when those slave masters' wives or widows, one of the two, also wanted to have our black men. And the same thing happened, and this thing, and people don't realize that this thing is generational. You know, they say, well, how could it be that's been so long ago? It really wasn't that long ago. And you just don't stop a way that you start doing business or thinking just because a certain thing stopped and appeared. The action keeps going.
Hey, I hear a lot of background noises. I hear like a TV on somewhere.
Oh, that's me. Hold on, My daughter decides she want to come in here and watch TV with me. I don't know why that is.
Oh, mine's turned down, so.
Children. Yeah, I totally agree with the brother when he's saying that, you know, it's generational. It goes back all the way to slavery. I don't know what the fascination is, you know, with the white girls. Like, you know, it's something different. But like you said, we come in all different colors. I tell my friends all the time, I say, man, look at these sisters, man. We got from super light all the way to super dark. I mean, what is the reasoning for you wanting to go over there to the white girl? But they have, in many cases, they have more money, you know, or they have more disposable income to spend on you. You know, because like I said, I sell cars at the moment, and I used to work in a Verizon store, and I see a lot of black dudes coming in with white girls, and they buying them iPhones and stuff like that. And it's so funny, and most of them are big and fat. And you're like, what in the world did he want with that fat girl when he's looking at the sister with the nice body? I'm like, he's with her. You know, he's using her, but then she gets him back because then she gets pregnant. So now he's stuck.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't like she got pregnant. Like she just woke up in the morning and she was pregnant. I mean, he did it, but you know, now he have a kid with her or a couple of kids. Now he walking around like Willie Dum Dum because he got his head down like a whipped dog pushing a stroller with these two little kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, go ahead, Sam.
But when I noticed that when these black men walk around with these. I noticed that when these black men walk around with these kids, they take better care of the kids they have with the white woman than they do with the black woman.
That is true.
Then on top of all that, then the
I never thought about that.
Of them have black girlfriends that they done got pregnant, four or five of them. I'm not saying just one. Or they have four or five girlfriends. They done got pregnant, not taking care of the baby. She's a single parent and on welfare. But he gets the white girl, he takes a whole hell of a lot better care of the kids that he have with her.
That's true. Look at Terrell Owens. He had, what, three or four baby mamas? And he when he was going through his money troubles, the one that was chasing him the hardest was the white woman. When he got his little $4,000 check from the Seahawks, she was like, I want my cut. All the black women was like, well, he ain't got no money. You know, white women, I want my cut. If he get $5, I want all of, you know, $350 or whatever.
Look at Tiger Woods.
We can't count Tiger Woods because he never was black in the first place.
Yeah.
He said it himself. I'm not black. I'm Caucasian or some crap. You know, he done made
himself
a whole new race.
No,
so
we know.
I don't know why we keep counting that cat because he ain't
black.
He don't want to be black, so he needs to stop counting.
But whether he says he's black or not, he's black. And he goes, and not only he doesn't go find one of his money, he go get a nanny.
That's how stupid he is, too.
Nothing, but she had enough sense to know she was smarter than him, and the first thing she did was go after that money.
Of course.
That's what most of them do.
That's what they do. That's their whole modus operandi, you know, especially with these dudes in the alphabet leagues. You know, they don't love none of these cats because if these dudes were smart, I wish I could be a mentor to them. Because the first thing I tell them, is, okay, look here, you're going to come into a lot of money real fast. So, number one, your family going to be after you, and then all of these vultures is going to be after you. Anything in a skirt, run from it. And if you go have sex with it, get a booty call agreement and use a condom.
Yeah,
and just put in the situation that if you gonna have kids with me, I'm going to take care of the kid. I'm gonna get custody of the kid, and that's it. Now, if she still want to be with you after that, then you might have a chance of having a good, decent woman that don't want you for your money. But I highly doubt it, since when you was broke, she didn't have nothing to say to you. Now you got a check. Now she wants to be with you.
You know, I have a friend of mine who watches some of those TV shows, and he's asking me, "You watch the Kardashians?" I said, "No, I've seen it, but you know, I only seen a couple of minutes, and I move on." He said, "Well, you know, Lamar Odom is married to he said
Chloe.
The ugly one. I don't know which
yeah,
one it is.
Yeah,
but,
married to Chloe.
So Chloe. He said, and did you know what? Chloe wanted this house that Lamar Odom didn't want. Didn't want to spend the money on. And he said, do you know what Chloe's mother told her to do to convince Lamar to get the house? I said, no. What did he tell her to do? The man, she told him, go and treat him right tonight in the bedroom. You'll get that house. And sure enough, he say after it happened, Lamar bought her the house. So, I mean, the mom is teaching them, in this
case, what
she should do to get her man at the time to buy her what she wants. I mean,
man, if
our people don't wake up, you're diluting us. And I know our gene is stronger, but it's still diluted, and you're ripping us up. Our beautiful black women are all over this place, and we're out here running to others instead of going to our own, those who need us, those who rather. Do you want a rug mat, a mat to step on, or do you want someone to stand by your side and keep you on a straight and narrow? That's what I ask.
They want the least resistance, the path of least resistance.
Hold on, just one second.
Let me see 609 real quick. Hello, 609? Hello, 609? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
This is Sandra.
Okay. Go ahead, Sandra, and finish talking.
Okay. See, what the black men do, they go around telling people, you know, the black women are loud, we ugly, black women black, you know, they are, of course, black women are not docile or anything like that.
Okay. But you
most
know
black, most of us black women at least try to be independent because we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to be independent.
Well, you know what? The problem I have, and I'm hearing all you guys, the problem I'm having with our African-American males when they decide to float over to the other side is the ideal that you guys said is a key thing. For one thing, they want somebody to take care of them. That's not what a man is designed to do.
Oh, no, I'm not taking care of no grown man.
Yeah, see, that's the problem I have with our African-American men, and that's why they want to go over on the other side, simply because they want somebody to take care of them.
In other words, they want to be boys.
Yes, my thing is pride in yourself. You don't want a woman to buy you nothing. You should be buying her things. You're not supposed to be buying. She's not supposed to be spending no money buying you cars and houses. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. I think if you're the man, you're the man. You can't holler you a man and you about your man business when she's footing all your bills. You ain't a man. I'm sorry. You're not a man. When she's footing all the bills for you, you're not a man. She's taking care of you. You a gigolo because you giving her sex for her to do everything that she's got to do for you. That's not a man. I'm sorry. I don't call that a man. That's like being at home with your mama. And your
you
mama
might as well be home with your mama.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. That part, it irritates me to hear that. It really does. That you standing up and you're proud that you got somebody taking care of you. Where is the pride? Where is the thing that you're a man? I mean, to me, it takes away from your manhood when you're allowing a woman to take care of you. Come on. That's not nothing to be proud of.
I have an idea of why that is. I mean, we see we are trained from an early age to take the easiest route, you know, buy a dollar lotto ticket, become a millionaire. You know, if you learn to bounce a ball or shoot a ball or run with a ball or run or something like that, the easiest way to anything is to just, you know, cut out the middle man. So when you see your friends getting a girl and he's walking around with new shoes on and things, and you're like, I ain't open my pocket, she gave me everything, and she happened to be white, then you're like, hey, I'm just taking the easiest route. A black woman like, yeah, I'll work with you, you know, to get what you need, but I'm not going to give everything to you. I mean, if you treat me, I'll treat you. But white women, they were like, oh, okay, well, the easiest way to get the man is to just go ahead and give him what he wants. And that's what they do. I mean, that's the last trick of the enemy is his woman. You know, he sends his woman to destroy us from the inside. You know, now you don't have a black man and black woman creating a black child. Now you got this new quote unquote black family, and it's really sickening to me. But you know, that's what people say, and then they get mad when you say that's not a black family. You know, I don't know what kind of black family consists of a white woman or a white man in it, but, you know, that's the new definition of black family.
Well, to have one of them in there.
Well,
now,
well
you know,
yeah, a black mother, one, you know, like T and Tamara. That's a black,
yeah.
I guess they would consider that a black family. With they, you know, they daddy white, they mama black. You know, I guess that's the new black family. I don't know how.
And look, what I don't get is when a black woman goes to a white man, the black man gets mad. Why y'all getting mad when y'all going around with all these white women using them?
Well,
speaking as a black
man, number one, I don't. If only thing white in my bed is my T-shirt, but I don't like that. I get mad because I don't like the aftermath, because I look at it like Halle Berry. If you use her as an example, when she was married, when she was dating and married to the white guy, everything was rosy, and he was in love with her, she in love with him, and everybody's in love. Then once they get a divorce, she all kind of niggas, and the baby ain't black, and you know all this other crap that's going on. So I mean, that's the end of the road situation, you know, because the black woman can't come back figuratively to the black community because no black man in his right mind would really want to be messing with a black woman with some white man's kids. I mean, that'd
okay,
be kind of retarded for me to do.
Let me break this down for you because I'm talking from pure experience. I dated when I was in the military, outside of my race, and I caught pure hell for my African-American brothers. I had to work with these guys every day, but I caught pure hell. I was
now, why did
white...
you go over that side is my question.
At the time, it wasn't a why to it. He was a very nice guy. He treated me very nicely. We had a lot in common. We started hanging out together, so we started dating. That's right. I mean, that's just what happened, just like if it was a black guy. It wouldn't have been a difference to me. But I'm saying this. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. When I did that, just like you just said, Sandra, you said something. You talked, the brothers are talked down to you. But the brothers wasn't giving me a time of day. They was dating the German women because this was when I was in Germany. And the black women were not even paid attention to. They were dating all the German women for the very reason we're talking about it, that they were getting everything they wanted from the German women, but they could not stand to see us date the Puerto Ricans, the Hispanics, the Latinos, the Filipinos, and the white men. They couldn't stand it. But you were dating Germans. So that doesn't even make any sense. Explain that.
What it does is, I think one of the things that it does is become more lost than what we already are.
That goes to the male and female. That's not just
right. Outside of the man or the woman, besides the relationship itself, a lot of offspring. And they are so lost, i.e. Tiger Woods. He think he's not black. I have people that I talk to on Facebook. They think they're not black. Oh, I'm biracial. What the hell is a biracial? Biracial, what you call yourself is a mixed breed mutt. That's what you call yourself because a dog with two different breeds is called a mutt because he's not neither nor the other. Now they're saying they're not black. But my mom's black and my dad's white, or vice versa, I am a biracial. So I'm neither here nor there. Black people tell from black people because I'm not really black, and I can't tell from white people because I'm not really white. Well, I beg to differ, and I know there's people all the time that does a lot of talking. Don't get me wrong. I remember coming up during the day, people talk. But I think we as a people will accept most of our people, no matter what, true to themselves. But a lot of times you have the parents, black parents, that won't even teach their child who they really are, about the real world.
Well,
so
I'll
they got
tell you.
This false sense of who they are. They're looking at this so-called Huxtable relationship, but of course this is with black and white, not with two black people. Think it's a storybook to get out in the real world, and then it all helps.
That's true. I talked to a couple of white people online, and I won't say I'm militant. I just I try to speak up for my people, you know, especially when we have certain conversations and whatnot on Facebook that relate to race and things. And white people always asking me, why do you keep on talking about black this and black that? We're all one people. I'm like, look, we're not the same. You know, we can't be the same person. And then I go on to the, oh, well, you can't even be my friend. Or my favorite is when I get one of the women to have mixed kids, and they, well, my kids are half black, and I try to teach them that, you know, to love everybody and this and that. I'm like, your kids is going to be in for a rude awakening when they get older because they're going to have to pick sides. And I can tell you this much, as far as I know, because I had a mixed friend in high school, and he had hell to run through because he couldn't figure out what side he could be on. White people didn't want to accept him for sure, And the only person that would accept him is his mother, and he had to deal with black people because we're the only ones that would accept anybody.
Exactly.
It's just so sad because we accept any dang body.
Yeah, you know, but
everybody else don't. You know, I mean, I was reading. Have you guys heard about? I forget her name at the moment. It's a little Chinese black girl. You can probably Google her. She was on like the equivalent to like American Idol in China, and she could sing and dance and everything. But they called her all kind of names. You know, they call her a little black doll and this and that, and then they call her a little black mutt. They call her all kind of names, right? But she speaks perfect Chinese, and she doesn't know her father because her mother had an affair with a black man while he was over there, and then she was married. And I wonder how that, you know, divorce. I mean that delivery scene looked. You know, her Chinese husband standing up there with this black baby coming out of his wife. That would have been a funny story to see. But you know, this child has to grow up not knowing her black side, and then getting talked about by the only people that she know.
Okay,
it's real sad
guys.
What we do to these kids, or what people do to these kids when they have mixed kids.
Hold on one second. Go ahead,
Salida. I got 773 in. Let me see. Hello? Yes.
Okay, this is Sandra.
Oh, okay. It's you. Okay. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Oh, what else? Hello?
Go ahead,
yes.
Sandra.
Okay, what I was about to say, I noticed that I see all these celebrities, ball players, singers, actors, or whatever. You know, they every time or just flat out rich men, and you know, black men, rich black men. First thing they go to is a white woman, and you know what? They okay, the ones that's rich and wealthy got all this money. They turn around, they buy her all these gifts, you know, buy her all these expensive gifts, take her to
Somebody's making too much noise in the background. Who's that moving around?
Oh, that's not me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, they buy these white women these expensive cars, take them to the expensive restaurants, and most of the time these white women that they choose are broke. Flat broke. Some of them either flat broke or plain broke.
Well, Sandra, have you heard about your boy, Mr. Heisman, Robert Griffin III? He got him a little snow bunny. He bought her before he got his first NFL check. He bought her a Bentley. A sister, he wouldn't even buy her a burger. You know, he don't like being black. They try to compare him to black quarterbacks. He said, "I'm not a black quarterback." I'm like, man, he's anti-black.
I'm gonna put it like this: a sister, they won't even take them to the dollar store.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How cheap is that?
But
won't even take
what I was gonna say is that it's a systematic thing that it's not by accident that these black athletes get these white girls. It's systematic. Like I said, the enemy's last trick is to milk black people for everything that they got. You know, they get them with these white girls, they get pregnant, and then they get the money back. That's the trick. You know, they don't want them to be rich. If you look at all the Alphabet League players, with few exceptions of Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and a few others, you know, they with other women, and then they end up broke when they get out of the league. You know, look at what's his name? Vince Young. He, even though he wasn't with a white girl, but I mean, he's broke. Jamarcus Russell's broke. I mean, you can name a whole bunch of basketball players that are broke after that. But they, in between them being with, you know, in the league, they were messing with these white girls. Even Steve McNair, he got took out by a white girl. So I mean,
I'm gonna tell you what they do.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you what they do. What these white girls do? They sit there, they play dumb. Some of them sit there and say they play the docile card, play dumb. That's what they do first, you know, to get the man. They're gonna play like, oh, they docile. They're gonna play dumb. they're going to say, they're going to, you know, act like, you know, they trying to act like they treating him like a king and make him feel like he getting treated like a king and make him feel like he getting treated good, when in the long run, all she doing is setting him up to get broke in the first place. And what they do is turn around after they finish doing all that. Okay, they could double the money. Okay, first of all, they could, with kids, they turn around and get kids. Then, after she get all the kids she want, she divorce them. You know, they get mad at each other or whatever, they, you know, get for some reason get a divorce or whatever reason. And you know what? They can get both the child support, they can get alimony payments, and the house, the car, retirement, or whatever they after.
Yes, that's what they,
okay.
That's why you
but
said
you guys,
the same thing
what?
I just said.
You know what, you guys, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm listening to you guys, but guess what? The black woman does the same thing. It's no different. I'm trying to figure out what are you saying is the difference. The black women do the same thing, you guys. Come
well, the
now.
Difference is that the white women, with few exceptions, depending on where they grow up and things of that nature, but with few exceptions, the black woman's been there since day zero. You know, he was with her, he was dating a girl in junior high, high school, college, or whatever, before he got popular on the field or on the court. And then when he got a little popularity, then the black girl wasn't no good for him no more. He had to go to the white girl, you know, and she started showing him, you know, she started giving him what he want. Maybe the sister told him, oh, I'm not having sex with you right now, or whatever the case is. The white girl just give up everything. She ain't got no problems with doing whatever. So I mean, you know, that is the difference there. You know, they don't, for the most part, they don't fight. You know,
They straight up gold diggers. I'm gonna put it like that because
I mean, we have black gold diggers too. But like I said, the bottom line is that the black women been there since day one. That's the one that he sees every single day of his life until he get a little popularity. Then it switches to, oh, well, these white girls, you know, they look good because they're the epitome of beauty. Because remember, it's a training thing. I mean, since birth age 5 or 6 years old, that's what you've been taught white supremacy. So everything in your life has been geared towards the epitome of beauty is a blonde hair, blue eyed, skinny white woman.
That's,
you know,
right.
Every time you look on TV, you see somebody blonde hair and blue eyed running across the screen talking about, oh, you know, my luxurious hair is this because I use this and my makeup does this and does that.
Okay,
and then
okay.
You see a black woman there in the background holding up something, you know, but she's not considered beautiful. You know, so that's what he basically wants. That's his Bentley or Maserati on his arm, is that white woman. The black women are no good to him.
Go ahead, Selena.
My thing is, okay, that is a choice. That's what he chooses to be with. So what is it for us? I'm playing the devil advocate right now. What is for us to choose for him who he wants to be with? What is it our business if he chooses to be with the white woman? Why should it be a concern for us?
Because we have to deal with the aftermath of this individual. He has a... OJ, prime example. He had a black woman before, and then he got a little money and fame and fortune and stuff when he got in the NFL. Then he had to get him a white woman. Then when he got in trouble because of the white woman, be it he killed her or somebody killed her or whatever, they looking at him. Then what does he do? He run back to the hood. Black folks save me. Black folks, please help me. You know, we don't need those kind of problems. You know what I'm saying? We always accepting people back once they leave us. You know, look at Asians. You leave, you gone. You can't come back. Jews, you leave, you gone. You can't come back. Black people, we accept you. You leave, you come back. You leave, you come back. Look at Michael Jordan. He left his black wife for a white woman. Now you got a Hispanic woman, and we still, oh, well, Michael Jordan the man, you know. I mean, he don't care about black people for day none, but, you know, we still accepting this Negro.
What's,
you know, just like Tiger Woods, you know, he said he ain't black, but we still trying to throw black on him.
Eddie Murphy got a black woman?
Eddie Murphy got a white woman too.
No.
I mean, but we still trying to accept this Negro. He don't want Eddie Murphy is a little different. He don't want no relationship really. He just with these women long enough to deal with them and then get and then kick him to the curb. So he's a little different case. Not saying that it's acceptable or not, but he's just using these women for what he wants. He wants sex with them. He uses them till he can't use no more than they on the street.
Again. Okay.
Well, think about Lionel Richie.
Okay.
Listen at look what Lionel Richie did.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie actually got caught with his white woman. His wife beat him.
Oh yeah, he sure did.
And then he wound up with the white woman. He never went back to Miss Richie. He wound up with the white woman, and he still to this day he with that white woman.
Oh, they're supposed to be getting a divorce. I heard so far.
Yeah, well, they've been married long enough. They've been married close to 20-some years now.
Oh yeah, they're gonna stay married to a black man for how many years it takes?
Well, in California, 20 years.
She don't like him, and she don't want him.
Enough for to get that check.
In California, 20 years to get you half.
Yeah, get you half automatically. Yep.
So I mean, it's to her benefit to stay with him. Why would she be stupid enough to leave? What for? I'm trying to wait. Look at Kobe's wife. 10 years.
Yeah.
10 year mark. She get what? So much money. She got. I don't know if they actually got a divorce or they getting a divorce or they stopped the divorce. But she was supposedly gonna be getting like $125 million.
And I heard that her mama told her
to stay with him for at least 10 years because she would get so much money. And the reason I read that because her Vanessa's stepfather, I think it was, that he was married to her mother, and she did the same thing to him. So he said that her mama told her to stay with him for 10 years. He said, put up with it for 10 years, baby, and then when you get a divorce, you get half or you get a good chunk, after 10 years, because Kobe was stupid enough to not get a prenuptial agreement like his daddy told him, and that's why they had a falling out for all those years. They didn't speak because he was a dum-dum.
Thank you. That's what I've been trying to say.
A ding-dong.
Okay.
That too. He was thinking. He was a dumb dumb thinking with his ding dong, and that didn't get him nowhere.
Okay. So you guys, your argument is, why is it that the black man always runs to the white woman? We said, this is what we said. We said the ideal that they're less headaches. They do what you tell them to do. They're more docile. And they're domesticated to a certain extent, and whatever you want, you get from her. She buys you everything, and she takes care of you like your mama used to do when you was at home. So that's why a black man goes to a white woman. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
that hits the nail on the head, so to speak, somewhat.
So what should we do? Okay, so with our black males that are growing up now, are we teaching them the importance of being with a black woman?
No.
I do, as far as my two sons. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I already told them the rules, right now, because I can't teach them a whole lot, but I try to tell them, they say, oh, I got a little girlfriend. I say, look. If she lighted in a paper bag, you better not bring her around me.
I'm just
setting the stage. If she ain't black, don't even bring her near me because you're going to get your feelings hurt.
And they ask me why.
I say, because is nobody. You want somebody like your mama. Your mama's black, and she's half Mexican. But, I mean, your mama's black, and I want you to be with somebody like her because you don't need those problems when you're dealing with other races.
Dad used to tell us, he had three boys, if you ever bring home anybody outside, woman,
what's that noise?
I don't know. I'm hearing that.
Amy, I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's me. Sorry, I was washing my hands.
Said if you ever bring somebody outside of the black woman, try to bring them into this family. He said, you grown. I couldn't do anything to you, but I tell you one thing I will do. You'll be totally disinherited. Not going to happen. He said, we worked too hard and too long to struggle to what we have just to turn around and give it right back. And it makes me think of the same thing these sports players are doing, these actors, these people, when they get up and make all this big money,
They're going out and they're just giving it right back when we have our beautiful queen that has stood by our side for eons of time, who has stood sometime in front of us and stood and hid us out and did everything they could to protect us, for us to turn around and just kick them in the face like this. And it's so sad that in this day and time, 2012, with everything we're seeing, how the black man is being done, and the only person we have outside ourselves saying the thing is the black woman. You don't hear any white women cheering for us and saying how wrong we're being done in the court system, how we're being jailed, and how we're being taken out. Only person outside ourselves is our black woman. But yet still, we turn around and we give it to the other side like they don't even exist. And
well,
I ask, what do you think about your own mother if you're out somebody that doesn't even close to looking like your mom?
Oh, yeah, you remember what, I can't think of his name. He is a celebrity. And he said, I can't think of his name right now. And he turned around and said something like, "All the only thing a black woman can do is show me which way a white woman went."
Wow.
Yeah,
said,
I remember that. I can't remember who it is either. He sure did. You're right. I cannot remember who that was who said that. He sure did.
Is that true?
Definitely. That's what he said. He did make that statement. She's correct on that. I just can't remember who it was who said it. Because they had mine is set on being with a white woman.
Yeah,
and
he in jail now. He in jail for his taxes.
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Wesley Snipes? Ah.
You said taxes and I'll right on time.
Now, let me tell you something. He did. He had a disdain taste for us. For a long, long, long time. And they're the ones who supporting him while he's locked up.
That's what I'm saying. See, they always asking for black folks to assist him. Because it's just like with Obama. You know, we sit here and go to the polls for Obama in 08 thinking that he's going to change the condition of black folks in America, and he don't do nothing. He don't even acknowledge our existence except for telling us to take off our house shoes and put on our marching shoes and get to work, you know, but he can help every other group, and all we can say is, well, he's the president of the United States, and he's the president of everybody, but he don't have no problem with helping every other group except us. And then we go out en masse, 93% of us go out and vote for him again, thinking he's going to help us this time, and I highly doubt that we're going to get any difference out of this man this time around, but, you know,
I
hope.
Think, you know what, this is what I see with him. I think his eyes got really open on them first 4 years with all the disrespect that he tolerated. He tolerated a lot of disrespect for the other color.
Well,
you've got to
remember, he grew up white. You know,
I mean, he
grew up with his grandparents and his mama. His daddy wasn't around. He visited his African people, but, I mean, that ain't really nothing.
But I think this time, and it's already starting to show by the way that they're being very disrespectful, that girl got fired from her job. Secret Service contacted her from
and you know
Vermont
it's a brother
thing.
In jail for the same thing, right? You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
did
it's a brother in
that.
Jail for saying that he thinks the president should be killed or something. He got arrested. She get fired. So where is this post-racial America that we supposed to be living in?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I did not know that.
Yeah, that I saw it on Facebook. It was about like last month. I wish I had saved it, but yeah, it was. I said, "Ain't this something?" One of my brothers had told me about that. If I next time y'all on the radio, if I can find, I'll let you know about it. But yeah, he's in jail or he was in jail, and the white girl gets fired. Now she probably gonna have a job next week. And you know, because not to stay on the same topic, Papa John's. Applebee's. Papa John said that they might be laying off or putting a lot of full-time workers on part-time status because of Obamacare. He said if you don't do that, then prices of pizzas would have to go up 14 cents to cover Obamacare.
If we were a good people, if we were a bonded and banded type people that we come together, we would boycott every Papa John's that was ever created.
Applebee's CEO was on Fox News, I think. I saw I got the article on my Facebook and stuff too, the interview. But he said, you know, the same thing. He's looking into the same kind of thing because he said that with Obamacare, it's going to cost $2,000 per year, I think, per employee or whatever, I think it was. Per employee that is not covered under, full-time employee that's not covered under Medicare, under medical, under Obamacare.
Because you know why?
So
a lot
said,
of them don't
huh?
have, a lot of them don't have, see, what we're not seeing is these businesses do not insure their employees, period.
That's how they get away with it. Like Walmart, they put you on 30 hours or 35 hours, so you're not full time. Because if you're 40 hours, then you got to have medical. If you're not 40 hours, then you don't have to have medical.
Yes.
So that's what they're doing. That's why the people at Walmart are complaining and wanting to have a union and stuff, because they can't get medical care, because more people, majority of the workers that work for Walmart are on Medi-Cal or Medicaid or some kind of state-run thing, and the government keeps giving Walmart subsidies and stuff. And it's really kind of retarded. It's like, how you going to have all these people working in your business, and none of them, or majority of them, don't have medical insurance, and they all are on, damn near every worker you have is on the state's medical.
Uh-huh.
That, something is really wrong with that, and then you keep giving them tax breaks, too? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. Yep. You're right.
That's our fault. That's our fault.
You're right. It is our fault, and we need to start. Our problem is we don't want to be educated. We don't want to read. We don't want nobody to tell us how to read. We don't want nobody to tell us what to read to keep ourselves going. That is the problem we have in our society, and that's why the black person is going to forever struggle, because once we do make it, we don't care about the ones that, you know, that are under us. We don't care about them. We're just going to keep going up, because now we need to make sure that we're on the same level as the elite is, so the rest of us don't matter. And that's the problem. We have, like you said earlier about the Willie Lynch, and you said how they've actually designed it where we can be you got the house nigga and you got the field nigga. You have that combination, and that's our mentality. That's literally how we think, and we keep that going on, and that's why a lot of people are uneducated. They're not equally educated. They don't know what they need to know, and they're being left behind.
Period. Well, that's the problem that we have. You know, we I've been saying for the last forever that we need to self-segregate from everybody else, because integration hasn't done anything for us. Integration and affirmative action have not helped black people at all. It's actually done us a disservice. The only people that it really helps is women and white women at that, as far as affirmative action goes, because they are a minority group, and push come to shove, businesses rather give white women a job because they kill two birds with one stone. You know, they got a minority, and then they got a white person there because they're going to give them a job. So, you know, it doesn't do anything for us. And then we're not even supporting the black businesses that are out here. So we're shooting ourselves in the foot and the head at the same time. And so we need to do something about this situation, because it's not benefiting us at all.
Have y'all ever heard of this video on YouTube? It's called Black Man, the White Woman's Agenda.
No, I ain't heard that.
Never heard it? You need to look at it. I'm on the video now. It says, Black man, you think so highly of white women, this is your warning. The person that made it on YouTube. And he shows on there where a bunch of white women, black men, went to these white women, and they get treated bad, real bad. Yeah, let me see. Like, you remember Soul Train Man?
Don Cornelius.
Don Cornelius.
Yeah.
Okay, the white woman that he got married to, she sprayed him with some mace I don't know how many times, called him the N-word, and all that.
Now, wait a minute now. Don Cornelius was kicking that ass. Excuse my language. He was kicking that pink ass. I'm going to break it down to you. He was kicking her ass.
He should have been.
That's why he killed himself, right? Because he killed himself after the insurance was 2 years or whatever, so she wouldn't get nothing, or before the 2 years or something like that, right?
I guess, but he was kicking that tail.
I can't remember what it was. It was something like that. The insurance policy stated if he died within 2 years, he don't get nothing, or after 2 years, or something like that. That's why he killed himself when he killed himself. I think it was because so she wouldn't get any money. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, he hated her, too.
He hated her with passion. I don't know why he just didn't change the insurance. I mean, you know, he obviously wasn't that damn bright.
But my thing is, y'all, listen to what y'all just said. My thing is, he was with her. He spent all that time with her, and he was kicking her tail. Don't get mad at him.
He should have just left. That's why I said he wasn't that bright. He should have just left. Or he should have got a divorce.
They're not. I'm telling you, some of us, African-American males, we like that control. We suck that control up.
I don't think it's more control. I think it's more of a trophy.
Yes, that's what it is.
It's more of a trophy.
No. I'm sorry, you guys. No. Men like to be in control. Let's break it on down, okay?
Can we concede the point and say it's both of them? Because they do want that trophy. Hell yeah, man, I got me a bad white woman. You know, look at Ice-T. He think he got the baddest thing in the world. I mean, yeah, that thanks to whatever the doctor's name is.
He ain't got nothing but a set of sluts. Excuse me.
But I'm just saying, he think he got the baddest thing in the world. As long as these head scratching Negroes keep slobbering over her, then he gonna think he got the baddest thing on the planet. So I mean, it's a trophy thing. Even though black women come built like that naturally,
he just think he got
the baddest thing going.
White women got to get big lips like ours. They got to get big butts like ours. They got to get breasts like ours. They got to get big hips like ours.
Well, let's
all doing surgery. But you know what? The black woman ain't got to go through all that.
I'd say 6, 7 out of 10 black women don't have to go get no surgery to look like that woman look with however many surgeries. And only in a few years you're going to see it ain't nothing that surgery can do to help that woman's face and her body, because she's going to fall apart. She already falling apart now, but it's really going to be bad in a couple years. She done hit 30, so it's just a downward slide now.
Black don't crack, but white women age like milk. Most white women start aging between 20 and 25.
That's the same thing I say.
But with a black woman, you see a black woman between age of 20 and 25, guess what? They looking damn good.
Look at Angela Bassett.
Some of them still look like they should be in high school.
Angela Bassett looked like she about 30s, early 40s. And that woman got to be close to, if not in her 60s.
Look good in the late 40s. Look at that woman. There's this woman that I can't think of her name either. She is 70-some-odd years old, and she lifts weights. And her body looks better than a 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about, the female bodybuilder. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Her body looks better than a 20-year-old and damn sure better than a white woman's body.
Now, since y'all talking about the white and black thing, you know Charlie Wilson was down.
Oh, yeah, he
on
got a white woman, too.
And she picked him up, cleaned him up, shaved him up, whatever she had to do. Now he's performing. I went to see him in concert, about a month ago. He was awesome. He's off the chain. But a white woman picked him off the street.
What happened? That's just like a thoroughbred horse. You can buy one. You can train them good because you know the potential that they're going to bring you, the return in the long run.
He busting his tail. He had just had back surgery. He up on the stage. So he got to make that money.
Oh, that's just for money. That's what she doing that for.
Of course. I mean, if he wasn't Charlie Wilson, she would have left him wherever he was. Whatever gutter she found him in.
He got to pay that debt.
See, the bottom line is, with few exceptions, in my personal opinion, which don't really matter to nobody but me, but I think that if the tables would turn, basically, without the monetary incentive, there would be not that much miscegenation going on, especially amongst people who have money. So if you take the money away from these people, these white women and white men will run away from them, like Garcelle Bouvier. When she was on Jamie Foxx show, everything was hunky-dory and gravy, and she got a little this and a little that. You know, it's cool. Then, when she ain't got no job, the white man ran off, and he ran off to a white woman. So, and she left, and he left her with them two little kids. So, like I said, now she no white man really want her, and no black man, if he's smart, he don't want her either. Because I wouldn't want to raise them kids.
But
I ain't raising
what?
Nobody little half breeds. That ain't happening. Oh, I can be, oh, those kids are so cute. They ain't mine. They're not mine. You know, and I would have kept it to you. You
but
couldn't
you
have caught me with her.
Kids are innocent. Yeah,
yeah, right. Well,
kids
might be innocent,
innocent,
but the parents put them in these situations.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You know,
I
just like I was talking about
that.
The woman, the black woman who kids got swept away in New York, and she ran to her neighbors and said, can y'all help me? And they said, I don't know you,
said,
and I'm not helping you. And I'm like, okay, well, she wanted the white man. She get all that come with him. She didn't just pop up out of the turnip patch or just come to the earth and say, you know what, I'm going to find me a man. She grew up black. She knew what was the deal. She knew the job was dangerous when she took it. Just because somebody on TV say, oh, we got a post-racial America, everything hunky-dory now, everybody getting along, don't mean that you could go out and just marry any old body and all the problems of the past is gone. Because
you
see,
the
chickens are coming home
to
roost right now. Because
exactly.
if you look at Twitter, it was about 31 people that I saw a post that I have on my website, on my page, that 31 white folks that said, "Oh, that damn nigger won the White House.
Yes,
I'm not having no
that.
Kids because that nigger is white, the president. I hope he get assassinated. I hope that."
Yeah.
I mean, all this. These are young people.
Yeah.
So racism is not dead. These people are no older than 18 to 25 years old. Now, when did they learn their hatred? They had to learn it from one or two places, on TV, which I doubt, or from their parents. Because one of the posts said, my father's standing here yelling at the TV talking about fuck this nigger and all this and that, and he said I was cracking up laughing. So obviously he learned his racism from his father.
Exactly. Now, what you were saying, Brian?
I wanted to add in one of the things I think we need to consider is that we as a people are sick. Now, let me explain where I'm coming.
Are you talking about humans or black people?
Black people.
Okay, okay.
When I say we are sick is, I'll give you something, it's not simple, but it's so simple. Just before the show, I always go on Facebook and I go and post and put out the show is coming on. And this is what the post says. We have a special guest, Ms. Sandra Davis, a regular in the group of Great Debaters of Races. Her subject will be, would the real black man please stand up? Your black woman needs you. Don't miss the exciting show. Talking about what is on blah, blah, blah. Okay? Now, I got thrown out of a group tonight, a black group, posting it. We're not going to have this racial stuff. We lack all race.
Which group is that so I can know?
I tell you, I don't hardly go on. It's called Mimes, M-E-M-I-N. I think it was. It may have been a black group in one of the aisles. I'm really not sure, but the lady came on and told me we're not going to have that, and she threw me out.
Man, why you didn't post it in my group?
Well, no, I just be picking. You know, I'm over 200 groups. I just go in and be hitting groups. I don't have any particular ones that I hit, and I got thrown out. I mean. For posting that. Now, when we as a people are so sick in the head that that's considered racial hate or we can't even say, will the real black man please stand up? Your black woman needs you. That is sickness.
Well, I got two things to say to that, brother. Number one, I don't know if I told y'all before. One time I was on here. But number one, I have my own website that's only for black people and black Tinos. So that's number one. But also, I have a Facebook group of the same name. So, you know, it's OurTimeNow.com. So on my page, it's the same Facebook page group as the website. For the people who are too lazy to go to the website, so y'all can join if you want to, and you can post whatever you want like that in mine, and I won't kick you out because that's ridiculous. That if you're gonna have a black group when you trying to post up black information and you gonna censor black information, then
well,
you're doing
why?
No better than the enemy is doing.
Is that the one out of Houston, Texas? Houston, it says right our time right now?
Hey,
no,
look,
man.
You
our,
know,
HOURTIMENOW.com. Our time. Our,
hey,
H-O, like a clock. Hour.
Hey, look.
Oh,
you
that's
know,
why I
couldn't
pick it up the last time.
Say that again?
That's
hello?
Why I couldn't pick it up the last time.
Wait a minute. Say that
hello?
One more time.
No, I was just saying that's the reason why I didn't get it the last time, because you didn't spell it for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. H-O-U-R. Hour.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Okay, you know, on Debate of the Races?
Yeah.
Okay, he know who I'm talking about, Frank Parker.
Oh.
Okay, he got a picture, okay, my picture, and then he got a picture of a monkey next to me.
Uh-huh.
What?
He showed
up. Oh, Frank Parker. Man, I was just looking at some group, and there's a white guy, right? Argument that he was having with somebody the other day, and he was going off, oh, damn niggas and all that. I'm like, what in the, who is he arguing with?
He put a picture. He put a big old picture of me with a monkey next to me, but you know what? It ain't hurt my feelings.
Well, he can't help himself. That's his nature.
It ain't hurt my feelings.
Man, well, you know, that's white folks, man. You know, there's certain things in this world that you can't fight, and some things you can't change, and you can't change white folks from being white. Now he's in the Nation of Islam study group talking about Elijah never got past grade 3, and you believe his story's excellent idea.
Like, yeah, and nobody but Dimitri Zamala, whatever his name is, he put him in there because both of them are tag team partners. And he's another one. If you talk about somebody that's hating on his own, his mama is dark. I've seen a picture. But his dad is a white German. But he hates on his black side. He loves his white side. And I've seen white Frank Parker talking about how he would bang his mama, but he didn't say anything to him, but just asked him to take the post off. But if a black says something that he doesn't like, not cursing him or anything like that, he'll cuss him out. And this shows you the disrespect he has for black people, and he turns around and he's loving on white people who dogs him out.
Well, see, that's why I have my website, because I police it. Diligently, I don't allow, like I said, it's only for black people and black Tinos. And what I consider black Tinos, for those who I haven't told before, is anybody from the Caribbean islands or Puerto Rico or any South America, anywhere that they have Afro descent. You know, like I was reading an article a month ago about a chick in Brazil in the 70s that ran for like Miss Brazil or something, and a judge stripped her of her title because she was black.
Mm-hmm.
She was a black Brazilian, and they stripped her of her title because she was a black Brazilian.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we can't disenfranchise the black Hispanics because they are more black than black folks in America. They rather be black than black folks in America.
Well, Elijah Muhammad is taught that the Hispanic is just like the Native American of black people. The true Native,
yeah.
I mean, they're black people.
Of
and
course,
if you really
I mean, you know, we can't walk through the barren earth. We are the first humans on the planet.
That's it.
There wouldn't be no human beings. And so it would stand to reason that the dark skinned folks that was here when the white light skinned folks came had to be black or blackish, you know. So I mean, I don't even entertain the arguments of these white folks saying that that black folks came from nothing. Cause,
yeah, we came from monkeys and
oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you something on that. If black folks came from monkeys, then why do you see in the history books that when you see evolution, why are the monkeys white?
Because they have no way to justify anything. I mean, white people have no history. They don't know where they came from. Well, they came from the caves of Europe. That's why they call them Caucasians, because they came from the Caucasus Mountains. But they beyond that, they have no history.
Well,
you know, they have nothing past that. They didn't build anything. They didn't create anything. And everything they have, they stole.
Well,
Yeah, and they always trying to say they came from Egypt. Yeah, right. Okay.
They have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor is queen. What's her name? Cleopatra.
Yeah,
I believe that one.
That's what I said. When you look in a history book or where a person came from, the person or evolution. Notice that the monkey is. You notice that the person is white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that evolution from a monkey.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
who's a monkey?
And then in the same vein, they say they talk about genetics, and then they have to say that the dominant gene is dark skinned people with brown eyes, and then the recessive is white genes with white people, light skinned people with light eyes. So I mean, they have to admit that they came from us. We didn't come from them. So, I mean, it's no, you know, I mean, they can't even lie right.
Well,
that's
yeah.
the funny part
really
of the whole situation. They can't even lie right. You can't even tell a good lie, and it makes any sense.
It's
I mean,
crazy.
It's really sad. And then we allow these people, like Malcolm said, anybody that allows the enemy to teach their children are fools. Now, obviously, we have to be foolish because we allowed them to teach our children. But when my kids come home, I try my damnedest to fill their heads up with the missing pieces of the story.
Now, if you really look at this whole situation, they do have a history. Everybody has a history. Theirs
yeah.
only go back 6,000 years. Ours, and they do have a beginning. And their father's name is Yaqub. Yaqub grafted them from the worst side of us. And
mm-hmm.
we won't get into that tonight. But they were the ones. And if you take it and show that you have very few black men you'll find with hair all over their body.
Thank you.
But
mm-hmm.
of them that way because this is the way they were in the caves and hillsides of Europe. And if you take a cast and put it on an arm or a leg, take that cast off after a certain amount of time, you'll see a lot of hair growing in those dark places. And that's the same way hair grew when they were in the cave. They were the ones walking on all fours. That's why they loved Moses. Some of them call him Musa, because he brought them out of the cave and taught them how to walk upright, bury their dead, and how also to cook their food. That's why they like raw meat. I mean, I'm just not talking about anyone putting them down. It's just fact. And
yeah, that's what they hate. They hate that.
They don't want to teach fact. That's the problem. Fact is just fact.
They hate admitting the truth. They love, you know, they love trying to divert you from the topic at hand. Why you talk when you talk about black folks getting reparations? Well, why do you need reparations? What is reparations going to do? Well, let's see. The Jews got paid from America for something that we didn't even do. They paid the Japanese for putting them in internment camps during a time of war. They paid the Native Americans for making them walk a trail of tears and everything else that they did to them. I mean, you know, it's a few more groups that I cannot recall that have been paid.
The Vietnamese and the Cambodians that are here right now to this day, for the first seven years that they're here in the United States, they do not pay any taxes.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know that, but see, that's what I'm saying. So when you're looking at black people, we say, why should we be reparized? They have a problem. Then their second argument is, well, who can you pay? Who I'm like, well, we're the ancestors. Okay, put it to you like this. You are benefiting from what your ancestors did to my ancestors. That's why you are in the position that you're in, and I am in the position that I'm in because of what your ancestors did. So, obviously, we both are still benefiting or not benefiting from the past, so you should have to pay me. So this one chick I was talking to, she said, well, why don't you try to find the family that owns your family and try to sue them? I'm like, are you for real? I said, they kept better records on damn racehorses than they did slaves.
You know, the best thing, and the thing that we want is the government owes us reparations. Those corporations
mm-hmm.
owe us reparations. I mean, people say, well, I didn't do it. I don't have the money. No, we want that government that sanctioned it, that it was into law, that owe us reparations, and they owe our black families. And that's part of the reason of we have such chaos within our family, because nothing's ever been done to rectify
the problem that they started in the first place.
And then it ain't like they wouldn't get the money back because all of the coons would go out and spend the money and put it right back in the economy anyway. So, I mean, I don't see what the big problem with paying us would be because you get most of it back.
That's right, because we are one of the biggest, one of the largest consumers of services and goods of America.
Oh, look what you're talking about, them big dummies that go back and get it right back to the white woman anyway.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's exactly what he just said. That's what we do. That's what y'all do. Well, because I don't have
to.
It
wouldn't be no y'all to that.
Yeah, that's what
I'll be sitting back waiting for them to spend up all their money, and then I'll be the one trying to give out loans. I'm like, oh, you want some money? Okay, that's cool, that's cool.
Yeah, as long as you pay it back, as long as you get it from her to pay it back, that's fine with me.
Nobody exactly gonna pay me back. Like, if you go to my, I'm gonna repost it yet again.
Yes.
But
Just been hit on the group World Black News, and Mr. Lofton said he's listening, and we also have Mr. Musa, and he's asking, so if he's listening, Mr. Musa, this is in the United States, United Snakes of America, and Peter McGovern said he's listening too, and a lot of them are saying it's a very interesting show, so this is some of the feedback that we're getting on Facebook and in the group World Black News.
Oh, awesome, 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 awesome. Now, let's get back to this. This is one thing. Okay, now you guys just said a lot of stuff. It's still going back in the purses and the credit cards, and it's going back on the credit cards of the white women. Let's talk about Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Say in his song Gold Digger, when they get on, they leave your ass for a white girl? Did he say that?
And yes, he did. You are so right. Matter of fact, that song played the other day, and it reminded me. And my thing is, this is what I'm looking at. They do not make a good – they don't even look like they belong together. You guys have to watch them. I'm not really into celebrities, but them two kind of got me because they're so odd. They are so – it's like they were put together.
Well, you had like Kanye, the black man's kryptonite for the most part is white women. So he just wanted some of the. I wouldn't want no damn. It's like I would think having sex with her would be like throwing a hot dog down a hallway. But that's just me. But I wouldn't, just looking at her, I couldn't even see myself wanting to be with her because she has no morals. She's there. I mean, come on now. You're going to make a sex tape, and then they're supposed to have another sex tape supposed to be coming out with her and Ray J. Like, come on. Now, this chick ain't got no kind of morals or values or anything, and her whole family is a bunch of whores. So, I mean, I don't understand what is the big fascination with her.
I have another comment here on Facebook, and he's person is saying that they respecting him more of what he needs to do for his black woman and supporting them. He say all of the celebrity bullcrap he could be without. He's raised by a blind grandmother, and he wants to hear more of what we should do by a black woman. He learned at an early age to take care of the black woman, and in return, what are we doing? Where is the ownership of me? And he wants to hear more of what we should do by black women.
Well,
he already said it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think we should, we should respect our women. We should learn more about our history. That's the one problem that we have, is that we don't know our history and what struggles we've had to overcome with our people, and how the strongest woman on the planet is the black woman, because she stood by thick and thin through everything. Every problem that we've had in this country, as far as men, we've had the black woman there to have our back. So I mean, we owe her the respect of not bitching up, taking the easy route we're going with white women just because they are easy. Because
one thing
in the end,
is that we got it mixed up. We're looking at too much of that Atlanta Housewives, Basketball Wives.
Yeah, I can't stand
those are not
stuff.
Good representations of black women at all.
And
no.
See, when you think about it, you know, back in history, a black woman was there for a black man when he was being hung.
I just said that.
No, you didn't say it like that.
Well,
I'm going to say
something
there.
Like that.
No, I'm not going to beat around the bush. When he was
say
being
it.
Hung, when he was being killed, when when he was on a boat and he was being thrown in the river, she was there for him.
Yeah, yeah. We always been that backbone. We always, despite how they treat us. They always can run back home, no matter how the white woman, the Puerto Rican, I don't care how the other woman dogs them out. They always come back home, and we very seldom turn our back on them.
Well, we need to train our men, our boys, to look up to the women and respect the women that they date like they would their mothers, and same goes for. Black women, but the problem is that, you know, with a lot of latchkey kids and single parent homes, that structure is not being taught because you have girls with no fathers and women with no men, so they can't, a woman can't, for the most part, teach a boy how to be a man, and a man, you know, he can tell a girl what he thinks she should know about being a woman. But other
than
that,
that's the same thing with a man. That's the same thing with a woman. A man. I raised a son singly, and I'm not a grandmother. I ain't got no baby mama drama crap going on. I ain't got none of that girlfriend crap going on. I did it, and I don't have that problem.
Well, like I said,
and,
with few exceptions,
yeah,
but still, you know, the boys need their fathers, and girls need their mothers, or you know what I'm saying. Girls need their fathers and boys need their mothers.
Yeah, but what get on my nerves sometimes about these black men, like I said, they take these white women out, they buy them gifts, buy them this, buy them that. And I notice when I go to the mall, I see them buying them. I've noticed that these black men be buying these white women clothes, the whole nine yards. If they take a black woman to the mall and a black woman asks for nothing but a pair of shoes. I'm gonna put it like this: a pair of shoes that you get from Payless that costs $12. He gonna have a fit. A white woman asks for shoes. Go to the store. Ask for the most expensive shoes she can find. $120 pair of shoes. He gonna buy those. He's going to buy them $120 pair of shoes.
You know why? Because he's going to get it back. He know he's going to get it back.
Well, she's going to spend triple that.
Triple that on him, so that's hard.
Yeah, he's going to get it back in the long run after she done broke his butt. That's when he's going to get it back. He's going to pay for it like that, if anything. After she done broke his ass, excuse my language, but after she done broke his ass, he's going to get it back. Yeah, okay. That's the only way he's going to get it back.
Look, the thing is, what we have to understand, too, just like you were saying, if we educate our young men on what to look for, because you know what? Some young men don't have a mother in their home, so they don't know how to treat a woman. They're going to get that from their dad. If dad's bringing home the girlfriend, for one thing, she's shacking, they laying up together, you're not setting a great example for your young men because you're teaching your young men that it's all right. You don't have to be married to her. You can lay her up anytime you want. You can do the booty call anytime you want. So by the time a young man is 14, 15 years old, he's already had sex at least 10 to 15 times.
More than that,
but I'm leaving it light. So we're teaching them because kids going to do, this is what I've always said, a child is a reflection of you. Whatever a child sees you do, that's exactly what they're going to do because they have nobody else looking. They have mom and dad or dad or they have mom. So they have you to be that example to them, what they see as how they perceive the outside world. So if mom, every time you turn around, she's got Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, this is Uncle Harry, this is Uncle Tom. And then dad has Aunt Mary, Aunt June, and Aunt Mercedes coming over. You're not teaching your kids what it is to have a productive relationship with another person of the opposite sex. You're not teaching them that. We need to learn how to teach our children, our young men and our young women, how precious, first of all, their bodies are and their minds and their emotional. Because at that time in their life, they're going through hell. And they're trying to learn how, where they belong in life and where they belong in their whole atmosphere and who they're around all the time. So we have to educate our children on how important it is for them to love themselves first and foremost. Then if they decide to like somebody, you can teach them, you know, it's all right for you to like them, but you don't need to get serious with this person because you're still young. You got a whole life ahead of you. You have an opportunity to meet other people. We don't teach our kids that because you know why? Because we were never taught it. You can't teach them something you never was taught yourself.
Are you saying that we should teach them not to get serious?
Yes, we should teach them not at no young age. No, not at no young age. They got a whole life. You know
well,
what?
I don't know. I differ with that.
Well, you differ with that, and I know you do. But
that.
I'm saying I think our children shouldn't get serious.
It depends on the maturity of the person.
And I think they should be able to have experience. And when I say experience, I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about having experience to know other people other than just that one person.
But
that just
depends on the person. It depends. You got people all over the world that take different routes in life. Some people yes, some people no. So it all depends to me on the person.
Well, but no, you disagree with me altogether. You said no. You said no altogether. I'm saying.
And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that it could never fit anyone. But I'm saying if someone has a correct way of being taught in life, or how things should be, how they should conduct themselves, how a family should be held, what they should do for their counterpart, and they come together and fall in love, we shouldn't stifle that. We shouldn't stop that. We shouldn't try to prevent that.
Not at no doggone no 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
I ain't
no.
saying no 10. No, come on,
no.
man. Not 10, 11, 12. I'm saying, let's say that 18 or 19.
That's still, I think you still have time to experience life.
Well, it all depends on the person because I think you could, if it happens, go for it. If not, then you should wait. And also, you know, when you say experience life, all life experience is not good experience. All life experience should not be.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Not,
oh, yes, it does.
You experience whatever you experience.
Somebody
you experience
might experience
it,
going
to smoking
reefer. They don't need to experience that. They don't need
anyway.
To That's something you
anyway.
Don't need to get into. So all life
we're
experience
not,
is not
We're
good.
Talking about relationships. We're not talking
oh,
about
relationships. Some relationship leads into other things.
Boring.
I'm reading a story about Zimmerman getting FBI files on Trayvon Martin. And I'm wondering, what the hell is a 15, 16-year-old having an FBI file?
I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of, ain't that kind of strange? To
yeah.
be 15, 16 years old and having an FBI file? How do you get a, so they must be keeping files on everybody in the country from birth.
They probably do.
Because, I mean, how do you get a – it doesn't go into detail, but it says that they turned over – it says at Discovery, the file surrendered from the FBI or and federal Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So I'm just wondering how do you get a 17-year-old with an FBI file?
We talk about white women and black men. How'd you get on Trayvon Martin?
Well, I'm looking at my timeline on Facebook, and I just thought that was strange.
Look, are we boring you?
Oh no, I'm listening to y'all, but I just saw that and it said, "Wow, that's really really strange."
Oh boy, I'm just messing with you. So
do you have someone that wants a biracial that wants to come on? I don't know if you want to let them on.
No, if he it's who I think it is, not no, but hell no. And I'll say it out loud.
Wait a minute, hold on.
My show,
that should be a funny conversation.
No, hell no. I don't like disrespectful people. I just don't. I have low tolerance for disrespectful people.
Seriously. Not only no, but hell no.
No.
It's not that she doesn't want a biracial home, but this particular person, she knows what I'm talking about.
Is
that
the
Mr. Frank? No, hey Frank.
No, it's another
partner,
one. It's Dimitri, one almost like him.
Dimitri Miles, that's his partner. Frank is white, and Dimitri is he calls himself biracial, and Dimitri is asking to come on with the. I don't. I didn't think he. I told him I'm not running the board, Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland's gonna let him on because Dimitri.
Oh. What do you think? Dimitri is Miles. Oh, is he from Sacramento?
Yeah.
He's from Atlanta,
Georgia,
somewhere.
Oh, because I see four Dimitri is Miles on Facebook, and two of them look like the same person. Well, three of them.
He said he won't be disrespectful.
No. No.
She said
you know
no.
What? You know what? The thing is, I've raised a young man. He's, Tavares is 29 years old. And my thing is, when it comes to young boys, I've dealt with them. I was a cadre at a youth challenge program that's here for kids like that. And I have never been disrespected worse. And these kids come from all over, okay? New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Monroe. These kids have been through hell and high water. And I take that as far as them being sympathetic towards them. But I have never been disrespected by them as worse if I've been disrespected by that little biracial boy. And I have no tolerance for people being disrespectful, especially to me, when I know that I have a personality when it comes to kids. I love children. I have that. I can connect with teenagers. I don't appreciate being disrespected, and I don't deal with that. Brian is more sympathetic than I am. I'll put to you like that. I have no sympathy, and I have low tolerance for disrespectful young men. I do. That's point blank. That's just how I am.
And I can't blame. I can't. And I'll
and
say this.
If I've never dealt with guys, there'd be a different story. But even in the military, I dealt with a lot because I was one time the only female in my platoon. And I never was disrespected as much as I have been dealing with that little boy because he's a boy to me. I don't do that. I don't deal with him, and he's not coming on my show, and I'm going to keep it like that. I'm not changing my mind. I don't have time for that. And you can tell him that if you want to. I don't care.
He's probably listening, I guess. I hope he is.
I've never been disrespected.
A biracial boy, so he must be listening.
Anyway,
wow.
He said he is listening.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. I hope he heard what I said.
Learn that he's black. And I've been trying to tell him that ever since we've been friends on Facebook. I don't understand how he puts himself as a biracial when there's no such race called biracial. So.
By the census, it is, sort of.
Yeah, but the white man's made a new race up, and us black folk run anything that the master puts out there.
Yeah, that is true. Our name has changed 50 times.
By master standards, it's a new race. See that? I told you I was there. Master say it.
Hey, you know what, you guys? You know what? Now to think about
it. Now that you said that, you know what?
What?
The way I said with the black men, with the white women, and the white women getting all the money. I see it as the white, black man being a slave for the white woman.
Exactly, and she's paying him for his services. I said that. Gigolo. Remember Mandingo? Everybody remember the movie Mandingo?
All right,
I do.
Okay, what was that based on?
It was.
Okay, y'all remember the movie Mandingo?
I'm wondering what you're not asking, because it was based on
I'm trying to remember
it was Ken Norton, and he was the strongest slave around or whatever, and he learned how to, he got in a fight, and then he put him in fights, and then he got, you know, chased down by the master's wife, and she told him, if you don't have sex with me, I'm gonna tell master that you have sex with me anyway, and he's gonna kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to do it either way. Then she got pregnant. Then they killed the baby. Then they put him in a pot of boiling oil or water, and the master shot him, and he fell into the boiling oil or water, and that was it.
Exactly. That was it. So who was chasing him? Was he chasing her, or she was chasing him?
If I can remember right, she was chasing after him, wasn't she?
She went after him. Yeah, went after him.
Oh, this little funny looking boy, Dimitri Miles. Yeah, he's a very strange individual.
So you can't
mess with them Decepticons. They'll start a whole bunch of trouble. That's why I don't allow them on my website either.
Yeah, I don't give them any.
Can't mess with them. You can't mess with people who have dual allegiance.
Yes.
He doesn't have dual allegiance. His allegiance is not.
Quit taking
black.
Up for him, Brian. Quit.
Henry Clark said, anything that comes from between the legs of a European is not good for black people.
Wow. Wow.
He said it. I did. I just repeated.
Wow.
And he had a doctorate, so obviously he was smarter than me.
Say that whole sentence. That whole sentence again.
Anything that comes from between the legs of a European does not benefit black people as a whole.
Oh, okay.
That's deep.
Well, it ain't benefited black people, period. I mean, don't say
no.
Obama.
Right.
He ain't benefited us either.
You know what? That's deep. That's really deep.
Now break it down.
Anything that comes from between the legs of a European?
Yeah, just break it down some.
Anything that comes from between the legs of a European being born or shot into does not benefit black people.
Oh, okay.
So you're
saying it's not doing nothing for us.
No, it's not doing nothing for us. Obama came from between the legs of a white woman, and he ain't doing nothing for us and don't plan to. Now, we ain't considering Booker T. Washington and all them, because they were born during slave time, so they didn't have, that was a whole different time frame. We talking about, recent, mostly,
Okay. Now, let's go back to Mandinga. We said that she chased him, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what's going on now?
Yes and no. The women are chasing, but, we got a whole lot of running, too, also.
Yeah, okay.
So, it's a voluntary thing now.
Okay.
Because they make it so easy. I mean,
Tell me this. Why is it that the black man goes and get the overweight white girl? Let me finish before I say that. And then when the white man dates the black woman, he goes and get the most beautiful one there is. Why is it that?
You know what? I think of it as this. In the wild, the lion goes after the young and the sick. So if we were equating black men to lions, we going after the young, after the fat and the stupid. So I had a friend that posted a picture up of that. Also, two black guys with white women and two white guys with black women, and they had one, a Garcelle Bouvier, and somebody else, another black chick with a white guy, and they said they go after the best of ours, and we go after the worst of theirs. We always taking the shit that the white man don't want. Like, we win.
Yeah.
Like, you won something because you got this 300-pound pig on your arm, and the black and the white dude got a white chick, got a black chick that's fine as the day is long.
Now, I would like to say something on that.
Okay,
sometimes, especially when it comes to our everyday brothers, and I call it everyday brothers, that one may not be a celebrity, athlete, a big high-paid athlete, that when you see them and they go out and they have, like, I'm like, I try to put myself in the another person's shoes. I try to imagine myself looking through their eyes. And when I see them with another person, white or whoever, outside of race, and I say, I can't put myself there. I try. And then when I see them with a person that is totally out of whack compared to our sisters, that even if you have a heavy sister, to me, the two don't even compare, because the heavy sister outdoes the white woman any day. But then I think they do it because they're looking for those light-skinned babies. I really, because most of them have two and three and four babies sometimes.
That's right. You are
and I
so
think they, and
right.
They have them all, and their hair be all pulled back, and no snotty nose, and boy, they have shoes on. And I'm like, man, they got a lot of kids. I'm like, and like, he's trying to produce as many of them little mackerels as he can. I mean,
well, I mean,
it
goes back to the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Look,
I mean, that's the biggest thing is the Willie Lynch syndrome, because we the ones that sell out hate themselves, and they want to cover up themselves as much as they can. That's why a lot of black women go out and buy a whole bunch of lighter makeup. They go out and get a lot of weave. They try to go get the liposuction and stuff like that,
hold
like
up,
the white
break,
women
break.
Do.
Oh, hold up. Let me break it on down. What you say about weave? Don't make me come through this phone.
Weave.
Just don't come with the weave, please.
Weave.
don't talk about weave now. Hold up.
Now I've tried. I think I succeeded.
You know who had the weave before we did?
Who was
that? White folks had weave
that's
before
right,
we did.
That's right.
Well,
that's
we ain't
right.
talking about them. We, you know, you comparing
know,
the,
saying,
comparing black women to white women is basically like comparing Isaac Newton to a retard. That doesn't make much sense.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we already discussed that we are supposedly high on the evolutionary chain. So comparing yourself or using that as an excuse is really
but
a bad one,
what?
In my opinion.
That really, you're right. You are so right when you say that. But my thing is, I don't mind. My hair is natural. I have no perm in it. But every now and then, when I don't want to deal with my hair, I will strap on a wig in a heartbeat. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, I mean, as far as if I think me personally, myself,
like nobody else. I like who I am. I like the Afrocentric of me. I like my big nose. I like my big lips. I like that about me. I think it's a beautiful thing. Nothing's fake about me. But some women feel secure with all the rest of that stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Oh. You know why?
Well, I mean,
though,
if you're wearing weave because of medical purposes or because you got hair patches or stuff like that, I understand that. But if you have long hair, I mean, I saw a picture of Lil Wayne's baby mama. What's her name? Toya or whatever her name
Toya.
Is?
Toya. Yeah. Yeah, Toya. That's her name.
Yeah. I saw a picture of her, and she took a picture with her hairstylist, and her hairstylist was pulling her hair like, see, this is her real hair, and then she putting in weave. I'm like, are you retarded or something? I mean, that's like going to buy a $200,000 Mercedes, and then you going to go and put some damn hubcaps on it. Like, what?
Well,
the,
you know
what? That don't make no sense.
It does, because it protects the hair. Sometimes a lot of that pulling and having to do your hair constantly all the time, it does wear and tear on your real hair. So that's why a lot of people do wear weaves and wigs, is because they're protecting their own hair. You
well,
understand
if you
what
put
I'm
it
saying?
In an afro, you wouldn't have had that problem.
Well, everybody don't believe in afros. Everybody don't like afros. Everybody don't like afros. But I hear what you're saying. I hear you.
I just
loudly.
You know, I just think that black women. I understand what you're saying, and those are good examples of why people use it. But 9 times out of 10, that's not the reason that they go on to get weave. You know, they
you
go on to get weaves because they want to cover they blackness up. They see a half breed little guy and they like, ooh, he got long hair. I wouldn't mind having a baby with him, because they want to cover up what they don't like. They don't like they say them, so they try to cover that up. So that's just that's the reason that they go out and have kids, black men and black women go out and have kids, white men or half breed women or whatever, you know, because they want to cover up that part that they don't like, which I really don't understand. But you know.
Well, do you think that's what it truly is, or is it just the ideal that people prefer to date and marry outside their race? Could it just be something as simple as that?
No, because if you grow up in Watts, you don't never see nothing but blacks and Mexicans. So to say, ooh, I have a preference for white women, it makes no sense, because you ain't never been around none.
Salida,
so,
we have one of the callers from Facebook who's been on, is in the clue. He said he'd like to come on.
Okay. He
should be at a 541.
It ain't that little boy, is it?
No, that's not
okay.
Dimitri. This is.
I got him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, aloha. How are you? This is Troy.
Fine, you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. I'm also a veteran. I'm also Brian's homeboy, and I went to school at a black high school, Peabody Magnet High School. So I want to put that out there very clearly. I grew up in the neighborhood which Brian's business thrived in, his family's business, and they respected our community. They were the black family that gave black back to me and told me how to have a backbone as a black young man.
Uh-huh.
So growing up in that community, I want to say this. This conversation has taken all kind of leaps and bounds to different directions. However, I want to bring it back to what substantiates me and what edifies me as a black man and being a role model, a model, mentor, monitor to my young black men and to the beautiful black women of my community. I was raised by my blind grandmother. I was the one who sent that comment in to Brian. And one thing that I learned was respect. I learned respect from the time I had to pick out stuff to cook for my grandmother because she was blind and she couldn't see. I had to learn how to brush my teeth, wash my hair, comb my teeth, all of that from my grandmother and my grandfather, which set me up to go to school with Brian and them at Peabody at the black high school. Well, you know what? Growing up, I had to figure out another way around things because my grandmother kept me safe. Now, I was one of those brothers that had to be home when the street lamps came on. So because of that, I learned a lot of things that most young black men didn't learn. I learned how to tumble. So I had to pay for college through tumbling. I was the first black male cheerleader at Northwestern State University in Natchitoches. And as a result of that, my community thanked me by sissy, punk, faggot, this. All the same time, I was chasing this little beautiful little nappy-haired black girl named Darlene all through my college years. And it seems like the things that I learned trying to be the responsible, mature, giving black man didn't work for her. And so it's not that I went outside my race to find that. It's the fact that if we have young black men that we are responsible for, let's edify them and raise them to a whole new standard, not talk about and bash and da-da-da. The white woman isn't our enemy. We're sometimes our worst enemy. Carl, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. We hear you loud and clear. We're just listening to what you're saying.
I appreciate that. And back to my time in the military, I was one of the first brothers that got qualified on submarines, on my submarine. In fact, I served with 135 men on my submarine, and I was one of the few blacks. And so what I'm trying to say is I've been one of the few blacks fitting into America's society as a black man, without any doubts about that, throughout my life. And always I had to look back and reach into the training that I got at Second Bethlehem Baptist Church back in Alexandria, Louisiana, where I learned to be a good Christian, a good man, a good black man, based on not what the white people were doing, but what my black people were teaching me to do and how they responded to what I was doing. And until I started being successful, I had a lot of boors and nayers and haters, naysayers and haters. And the reflection of how I grew up looking at Atlanta Housewives and this Basketball Wives and all of these different TV shows that make us look like buffoonery, man, we've come a long way to nowhere. So I'm saying if we're going to have this conversation, let's get back to what makes us black men want to respect the beautiful nappy hair of my black women, you know?
Well, that's hard because now with society the way it is, it's hard for them to see us as you see them, like you said, the way you were raised.
Well, I had to see it that way, ma'am, because my grandmother was blind. I was her eyes. I was the one that had to braid her hair at night if she wanted to take her hair down and put something in the back of her hair. She taught me how to do crazy stuff like that. But you know what? That didn't make me less of a man. That made me her little man. And that made me step out and be ready for my daughters. And another thing that I cannot stand is dissing on the president for having black roots, because regardless of his roots, he's raising black women, and we need to support those black women as black women, because if we don't embrace them right now, they're going to get rich and famous and get in trouble and then look to us. We need to know that those young ladies are black right now.
Can I say something about that? I don't diss the president for having black roots. All I'm saying is that he didn't grow up black like us, because his father took the scenic route.
As a father, as a
black
man.
No, wait, hold on. Let me finish. His father took the scenic route over here, and the first thing he jumped to is white woman. Now, that be that as it may, he was raised by his grandmother and his mother until she died, and then his grandparents. So he grew up white. Then he went over to and grew up Asian-ish. And then he got a little black in him because somebody called him nigger, and then he had to go get a few black friends. So, I mean, he didn't grow up the same way that we did.
I'm talking about his daughters right now are black women that we need respect.
I know what you're saying.
In this particular venue, though.
You talked about the president, then you jumped to his daughter. But what I'm saying is...
No. That's where I was going with this the whole time. I was talking about the president's daughters. The president's daughters are black women. We need to respect them having a black father. period. Because we don't understand that this going back and forward, is affecting our youth of right now, where we need to model, mentor, monitor, and show them that they are beautiful black people as they are, not with the exceptions of what their father, their mother, their...
But his father, their father has to admit to himself that he's black and try and acknowledge that he's black. He hasn't acknowledged that he's black. By his actions, his words can say anything. Just to me, it don't. His actions have not acknowledged to me that he's black. Because every time somebody says something about black, he tried to run faster than Barry Sanders.
This isn't an if only they then I situation, though. I'm talking about whenever we look to judge people, especially when we have young black people involved at the other end of it, we need to be very careful of what comes out of our mouths as a black people.
We have to also hold these black people accountable for their actions also.
We will
the
do
president
that by embracing
is,
their
is
children
doing
as
things
our
that
own
are counter productive
not
to
confusing
black
them.
People. Huh?
Say that again. Go ahead. Say that again.
We have to embrace their children with love, not confusion. They're raised with confusion. They know their confusion. We have to.
Ain't nobody kicked his daughters to the curb. I haven't said nothing about his daughter. I'm
no,
talking about him. He doesn't want to be a shining example of what a black man can be, or at least to his people. He's a president. That's great. He got a college education. That's great. He's taking care of his kids. That's great. But him being a representative of and speaking up for the problems that we as black people have not only in this country and around the world, he is not doing. He does not acknowledge our existence. So how can, if he don't acknowledge us, then how can his daughters look at him and say, okay, well, this, you know, this is somebody that cares about everyone, because every time you look up and somebody say something about somebody black, he look like he about to have a damn stroke.
I hear that is your opinion, but every time those young ladies look
through
their
dad's
eyes,
he is a
black
man. The man got on TV and the newscaster asked him, what do you think about the Trayvon Martin situation? The man looked like he was about to die. And then he said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. What kind of shit is that? That's the best you can come up with? You got a college degree. You're the president of the United States, and the best thing you can say is, if I had a son, he would look like him? What else would he look like? Is your wife cheating on you? We don't know? Come on now.
I'm talking about we have to respect our young black people as an answer to where you guys are going with this whole conversation, Brian. I'm saying that he has two young daughters that we as a black people need to learn to respect what comes out of our mouths about their black father.
Troy, you're not talking to Brian.
You're not talking to Brian. I was what are you talking about?
Wrong one.
I'm listening. Go ahead. I don't know. You're not talking to me. I'm listening. I'm enjoying the conversation, though. But go ahead.
Brother, you missing the whole point. And nobody, unless I missed the beginning of the show, nobody said anything about not respecting his daughters. Now, when I brought up President Obama, like I said before, like 30 seconds ago, he is not representing what a black man in his position should do. Now, obviously, he's the president of the United States, and he can't pick and choose, or he shouldn't pick and choose what groups he wants to represent, but he has. How do I know this? Because he's put a Hispanic woman on the Supreme Court. Okay, that's a good choice. Then he put a white, gay, handicapped Jewish woman on the Supreme Court. So he done helped five different groups. Along with that, he's helped gays because he got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. And then he stood up and said, after he said he's a Christian and don't want to deal with gays being married, then he comes out and says, I think gays should be married. So once again, he done picked and choose what he will and will not do, or who he will and will not represent. Then
Sir,
when they ask him
politics,
to come to the NAACP, he said, I ain't got time for y'all.
People.
Then he
That's
tells
black,
us, instead
people,
of saying, you know
what,
let's see what we can do to help black people, he said, go put on your marching shoes and get to work after you take off your house shoes. So that's the kind of respect that
black
people are getting from
presidents. We have to learn how to better articulate ourselves as a black people to come back to that place of love.
Did I not articulate myself right then? I'm just asking, did I not articulate what the problem is? You're saying that we need
to
respect the black man. I mean, the president of the black man.
Out of love, not out of fear. This wasn't about you, sir.
Who's fearing anything? Did I say anything about fear?
This whole conversation has been about fear. The white women, the black this, the black this, the black this.
Are you
this is about
you
us.
Know,
what do we need
up,
to go
hold
back
hold
to
up,
us?
You,
hold up,
okay,
hold
my question hold is,
up,
you sound like you carrying water for white folks, brother, are you?
Hold up.
I'm just asking.
The whole conversation was, that was the whole point of having this conversation. We want to know why And that's Sandra's. That was what Sandra was discussing. Why are the white women taking our black men, basically, is what it's all breaking down to. And we
well, when I read the topic of the conversation on Brian's post, I heard it was about our black men and what it needs. And and that's the route I was going with this.
I understand. That's not a problem. Not a problem with that. But that's what we were talking. That was the basis of the conversation. It's
I think it did turn into that, but I thought from the very initial part of this, it was about articulating. I'm reading it on his post right now. I'm trying to see it on his post right now. The black male, and being one, I was figuring out, hey, there's a place where we have to come back as a black people and support each other through love and not fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real.
But nobody's fearing anything. There's nobody fearing anything. We were just basically talking about the ideal, what can we do to bring the black man back to the black woman?
And anytime we focus on outside ourselves for comfort and peace in that and focus on other people and other situations and politics, we're not going back to the basic of that, loving ourselves, modeling, monitoring, mentoring. That's the basic. That's all I needed as a black young man growing up in a community of love and black people, you know? That's all I look for.
Well,
and sending that elevator back down. Sending it right back down to our community. But it doesn't start with talking about what white women are doing to us. It's about what we need to do to substantiate ourselves as a people.
But it's not about what white women are doing to us.
No.
It's about how little we look at ourselves to where we don't see enough in our own black women to go to others for some kind of...
It sounds like this brother has white... Are you dating a white woman? Is that why you're saying this, brother?
No, not at all.
Are you brainwashed?
But that's a fair statement.
I mean,
though.
You
that's,
must be dating. Are you carrying water for white folks? Because you waving the flag of white people. We talking about how we can fix these problems. You talking about love and fear and all that. We ain't said nothing about that. You missed the whole conversation.
No,
he's
sir.
Or did I miss it?
But probably that's just the God in me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put love into this thing. My bad.
Now you trying to play? Now you trying to play the victim? I mean, come on now, man. We talking about ways we can fix what is the problem to getting the black man back with the black woman and the black woman back with the black man. You come up with white women are not the enemy and all that. That ain't even the problem. We already know who our enemy is, and if you don't know, then obviously you need to catch up. So we already figured that part out.
Okay, look, you guys, we're down to 1 minute and 57 seconds. So this is what I want to do. If you guys are interested, we can do this again because I think this is a very good conversation. I love what we're discussing here. It's awesome. You guys, the way you guys going back at each other, it's not being met. You guys got some real legitimate points. So I really want to do this again. What y'all think?
Oh, yeah, when?
Yeah,
we know.
Do it again.
Okay. I'm here every Saturday since I don't have nothing else to do. I live in Alexandria, Louisiana. Ain't shit going on this weekend. So
and Troy, to let you know, Salita also is a Peabody Magnet graduate.
I know that. What's your last name, Troy?
Davidson.
You was the cheerleader for Peabody, right?
Certainly was. No,
okay.
I got my scholarship to Northwestern, so for cheerleading, yeah.
Okay. All right. I got you. But anyway, we can do this again next week, same time, same bat channel.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Good to me.
If y'all want to continue, y'all can go over to the great debate of the race of the world, Black News. We'd love to continue.
Yeah, continue.
Hey, if y'all don't have a chat room, y'all can always hit my site, too. I got a chat room right there on the site.
Well, that was part of the misunderstanding when I was thinking Brian was one person. I didn't know even who – I heard the whole conversation, but as I was hearing it, I didn't know Brian's voice from the other person's voice. Who is the other person?
Yeah. It's two males in here and two females.
Okay, Brian, who's the other guy?
What's your name, bro? I'm sorry, I don't remember it. What's your name, brother?
Man, Joey. My name is Joey White.
Hey, Joey White.
My name is Sam.
I know the white part. I got you. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Slavery did it, not me.
Hey, look, give me your website again.
It's our, HourTimeNow.com.
Okay.
Now, if you want to join, All you got to do is sign up and ask her two questions. It ain't real hard. How did you hear about us and who, if anybody, referred you? It's real simple.
Okay.
You don't
right.
answer them questions, and you're not going to get in because, you know, it's a whole bunch of cowards and eavesdroppers that have been trying to get on the site, and I keep having them get deleted.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you, guys. See you next Saturday. And if, like he said, if you want to continue the conversation, you go to Debate of the Races, right?
Debate of the Races on Facebook.
Yes, bye-bye, Mr.
Coleman.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay.
Join us every Saturday at 10 p.m. for more Say Your Peace Radio shows.